Is 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 8. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Was that close to what you read on the back of your bulletin? Good. A good mother is such a powerful example of God's love. And many moms are willing to do about anything to communicate love to their children. Some even try to keep up with the changing styles popular with young people. And good luck, everybody. Good luck with that, by the way. Things change so fast. Reader's Digest published some interesting texts from mothers who weren't quite aware of the acronyms that are being used currently in the texting world. An acronym, of course, is formed by the first few letters of each word in a phrase or a title. For example, POTUS, POTUS, stands for President of the United States. It's an acronym, POTUS. One mother wanted to know the meaning of some acronyms that she had seen, so she texted her son. She asked, "What do IDK, LY, and TTYL mean?" She asked in her text message. And without explanation, her son texted back, "I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later." And those, of course, are the actual meanings of IDKLYTTYL. Well, Mom didn't get it. She thought he was ignoring her with his message, "I don't know, love you, talk to you later." So she texted him back, "Oh, all right, I'll ask your sister." I don't know whether to use this or not, but we're all kind of warm with mother's love today. Another mom texted her son, "Your great aunt Jenny just passed away, LOL. And the son answered, "Why is that funny?" The son texted, "Mom, LOL means laughing out loud." Mom replied, "Oh no, I thought it meant lots of love." You have a forgiving Christian spirit about you today, don't you? It's good. A few years ago, the Des Moines Register newspaper asked readers to send in their stories of a mother's love. And a woman named Donna Devereaux Copeland submitted this brief but powerful example of a mother's love and reassurance. She said, "On my first day of kindergarten, my mother gave me her wedding ring to keep down in my sock as a reassurance that I would be all right and that she would come back at the end of the school day to pick me up and take me home. Now, I have to push myself personally to imagine a mother entrusting her kindergartner with a wedding ring, but that is such a powerful symbol of trust and reassurance, saying to that five-year-old, 'Don't worry, I'll see you the minute school's out and we'll head home.'" However, if my mother would have placed a note in my lunchbox, which she would do from time to time, it would be taped upon a Hostess Twinkie or a Hostess Ding Dong, and I would be sure not to miss it. You know, I was thinking, I wonder what symbol or story or image would remind you and me from our Christian faith, from the scriptures, that God cares, the Holy One has our well-being in mind, that the Heavenly Father will take us home to love and safety at the end of the day. And I think of two biblical pictures, the cross and the empty tomb. The cross demonstrating the Lord's unselfish, self-giving, unbounded love, giving his son to pay the penalty for our sins, and then his arising victoriously on that first Easter morning to welcome all believers into life everlasting and be with them as Lord and Savior each day, each moment of their earthly journey. And I think it's good for us to remember from time to time that many of the early Christians were faithful, even through cruelty and persecution and martyrdom. Broadcast news now in 2019 tells of the gross mistreatment of believers in various places around the world. And yes, some still lose their lives because of their love for Jesus, even today, even in this so-called modern, enlightened world. Christians who have been in the cauldron of abuse say that even small signs of encouragement, small tokens and messages showing that others are aware of their plight and praying for them, those matter more, much more than we commonly realize. I was reading about a young Missourian by the name of Douglas Maurer, who was 15 years old when this took place. And Doug had not been feeling well at all for several days. His temperature had been high. He was experiencing flu-like symptoms. His local doctors and his parents made sure that he received extra medical attention in St. Louis. And there he received a leukemia diagnosis. For the next 3 years, he received rounds of powerful chemotherapy, and nobody sugarcoated the side effects, most of which he experienced. Well, his aunt called an area floral shop to send Doug an arrangement of flowers. And as she was placing her order, she mentioned to the young florist that her teenage nephew was very sick and going through chemotherapy. The beautiful flowers arrived at the medical center and they shone out with several vivid colors. As Doug was looking at them, he read his aunt's card, set it down, but then noticed another card attached to the bouquet. It said, "Dear Doug, I took your aunt's order of these flowers for you. I work at Bree Florist." I kind of even know where Bree Florist is in St. Louis. Do you? And this lady on this note from the florist continued to say, "I had leukemia when I was 10 years old. I'm 22 now and I feel great. Good luck. My heart goes out to you. Sincerely, Laura Bradley." Doug read that note several times over and others noticed how his attitude perked up and how motivated he then became to get well. Now, yes, one of the world's great medical centers deserves credit, but so did that encouraging note sent by Laura Bradley. You've probably heard me say this before, but the E-N, the letters E-N in the word encouragement mean in, I-N, and cœur is the French word for heart. So to encourage someone means to put the heart in, restore the heart. That is faith, confidence, a hopeful, positive outlook. And that can be, in fact, amazing medicine. I think to be a Christian alive and well in this world is also to be an encourager. restoring the heart back into somebody who needs it. I'd like to thank Steve Shoemaker this morning for sharing with us the following story, and it's called Invisible Mom. Invisible Mom. The writer says, she says, it all began to make sense, the blank stares, the lack of response, the way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Inside, I'm thinking, can't you see I'm on the phone? She says, obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head in the corner because no one can see me at all. I am invisible, the invisible mom. Some days I'm only a pair of hands, nothing more. Can you fix this? Can you tie this? Can you open this? Well, some days I'm not a pair of hands. I'm not even a human being. I am a clock to answer, what time is it? I'm a satellite TV guide to answer, what number is the Disney Channel? Some days I'm a crystal ball. Where's my other sock? Where's my phone? What's for dinner? Though I was certain that these were the hands that once held books and the eyes that studied history, music, and literature. But now they had disappeared into the peanut butter, possibly never to be seen again. One night, a group of us ladies were having dinner, celebrating the return of a friend from England. And she had just gotten back from a fabulous trip, and she was going on and on about how lovely the hotel had been in London. I was sitting there, she says, looking around at the others, all so well put together. It was not hard to compare how I looked in view of them. And I was feeling sorry for myself. I was pretty pathetic in my feelings, in fact. But that lady returned from England, turned to me with a beautifully wrapped package. And she said, I brought you this. Well, it was a book on the great cathedrals of Europe. And she said, I wasn't exactly sure why she had given it to me until I read her inscription. With admiration for the greatness of what you are building when no one sees. In the days ahead, I would read, she said, no, devour that book, and I would discover what would become for me four life-changing truths after which I could pattern my work. One, no one can say who actually were the workers who built the great cathedrals. We have no record of their names. Two, these builders gave their whole lives for a work that they would never see finished. Three, they made great sacrifices but expected very little credit. Four, the passion of their building was fueled by their faith that the eyes of God the Heavenly Father saw everything. A story of a legend in the book told of a wealthy man who came to visit the cathedral while it was being built, and he saw a workman carving the figure of a tiny bird on the inside of a high beam. And he was puzzled and asked the man, why are you spending so much time carving that bird into a beam that will be covered by the roof? No one will ever see it. And the workman answered, I do it because God sees it. She said, I closed the book, feeling the missing piece fall into place, and it was almost as if I heard God whispering to me, I see you. I see the sacrifices you make every day, even when no one around does. No act of kindness that you've done, no sequin that you've sewed on, no cupcake that you've baked. No Cub Scout meeting, no last minute errand is too small for me to notice and smile over. You are building four great cathedrals: Nicholas, Emma, Peter, and Kate. But you can't see right now all that they'll become. She says, more often now, I keep the right perspective when I see myself as a great builder, as one of the people who show up at a job that they will never see finished, to work on something that their name will never be inscribed upon. The writer of the cathedral book went so far as to say that no cathedrals could ever be built, he felt, in our lifetime, because there are so few people willing to sacrifice to that degree. Although they're going to try to rebuild Notre Dame, aren't they? I'm sure with modern mechanics and building materials and everything that goes with. When I really think about it, I don't want my son to tell the friend that he's bringing home from college for Thanksgiving. I don't want my son to say, hey, my mom gets up at 4 in the morning, bakes homemade pies, and then hand bastes a turkey for 3 hours and presses all the linens for the tables. Well, that would mean that I'd built a monument for myself. I just want him to come home and remember that he is loved and treasured here. Moms, you are building. You are building lives and characters and minds and hearts and relationships. Grandmothers and great-grandmothers as well. God bless you richly. We do love you. And may the Lord enable us to appreciate you even more. Amen.